From NPR News in Washington, I'm Craig Windham. A powerful winter storm that left an icy mess in the southeast is now blitzing parts of the northeast with heavy snow, as much as 22 inches of new snow already on the ground in Connecticut, where the governor has declared a civil preparedness emergency. NPR's Paul Brown says the storm is causing problems for commuters and travelers in the east this morning, and there could be ripple effects in other parts of the country.
American Airlines spokesman Tim Smith is upfront about today's eastern air travel situation.
The Northeast, including New York, Boston, and some of the areas around there, is really going to be a real problem.
American Airlines has preemptively canceled hundreds of flights. JetBlue and Continental are scrubbing flights, too, as the New York area braces for up to a foot of snow. But Smith offers some words of comfort for inconvenienced travelers. He doesn't expect this week's airline delays to be as bad as they were during the big holiday storms. Paul Brown, NPR News.
Floodwaters in Australia are swamping neighborhoods in the country's third largest city, Brisbane. A crew from Australian broadcaster Channel 10 watched a floating hotel being swept away and smashing into a bridge. The premier of hard-hit Queensland state, Anna Bligh, is urging curiosity seekers to stay away.
This incident is not a tourist event. This is a deeply serious natural disaster. Stay in your homes. Do not travel unless it is absolutely necessary.
Bligh says some 20,000 homes in Brisbane are at risk of being inundated by the flooding. President and Mrs. Obama are traveling to Arizona today. NPR's Martin Costi reports from Tucson they'll be taking part in a memorial service there for the victims of the shooting rampage.
They're calling the event Together We Thrive, Tucson and America. An advance word of the president's speech is that it'll emphasize social unity and public service. Organizers are expecting a big crowd. They're warning the public that the arena at the University of Arizona holds only 14,000. They're also promising tight security. Already on Tuesday afternoon, military aircraft were making low passes over the arena. Besides the president's speech, there'll be remarks by Arizona's Republican governor, Jan Brewer, as well as former governor and current Secretary of Homeland Security, Janet Napolitano. The memorial starts at 6 p.m. local time. Martin Costi, NPR News, Tucson.
One of the physicians treating wounded Congresswoman Gabrielle Giffords says she will survive the injury to her brain. Dr. Peter Reese says Giffords is slowly being weaned from some of the medications she's been on.
What she does do is she does a little bit more because we're really decreasing the amount of anesthesia and sedation, and we're letting her go on her own.
Reese says Giffords can breathe on her own now, but still has a breathing tube in place as a precaution. This is NPR News from Washington. Defense Secretary Robert Gates is playing down the possibility of any rift between China's civilian leaders and its military over strengthening ties with the U.S. military.
What came across to me is that both the civilian and the military leadership seem determined to carry this relationship further and build upon it.
Gates speaking to reporters during a visit to the Great Wall of China after meetings with Chinese leaders. But NPR's Louisa Lim reports some are questioning the timing of the first flight of China's new stealth fighter jet.
A Pentagon official had said China's civilian leaders appeared to be unaware and then surprised the flight had taken place. A Chinese official again reiterated that the stealth fighter's test flight was not connected to Gates' visit. But the heavily controlled state-run media have widely reported the test flight, leading some analysts to wonder if it was a political stunt. Louisa Lim, NPR News, Beijing.
More than 60% of the voters in southern Sudan have already cast ballots in the referendum on independence from the north. Assistant U.S. Secretary of State Johnny Carson says the turnout so far has been heartening.
The referendum on southern Sudan's independence is going extremely well. And we are pleased with the cooperation that we have seen from the leaders on both sides.
The vote is expected to lead to the predominantly Christian South separating into a new country independent of the predominantly Muslim North. Preliminary results from days of voting in the referendum are not expected until early February. I'm Craig Windham, NPR News, in Washington.